Okay, we'll close the door and get started. Okay. How are you feeling, Alan? A little better?
Or for Hashem, except okay. They frustrated me near the field. He closed everything off.
Oh, no.
All the way around.
What are they doing? They're doing some sort of running thing, some sort of competition?
No, no.
They closed off the street?
Remember, they had that explosion there.
Oh,
so
of course the explosion. I see. Okay, then. Now, here at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, we have the principle called Staman Lishma. So if the Kohen does the Avodah, and he has nothing in mind, you know, he doesn't have in mind Ola L'Shem Shlomim, but he simply is shechting a Karban Ola. So in such a case, the carbon is kosher. That's called stam lishma. You don't require a positive machshava l'shem ola. Now, in get, as we've discussed, and the Gemara right here at the beginning of Masechet Zvachim points out, you need a positive kavana lishma. The get has to be written lishma. There's no parallel in kosher because stam lishma. You don't need a positive machshava lishma in kodshim. Now, I'm going to just, if I can, just to save time, Don, can I borrow your Gemara just for a minute? I'll give it right back. If you take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil Stam, again, the Gemara formulates the principle that you don't have stam lishma in writing a get, because stam isha lav legerishin omedes. And in the past we've touched on the fact that the reason for that is a man is not obligated to divorce his wife, so it's not like she's omedes legerishin. And even in a case where she was chas v'shalom mizana tachtov, which means he's no longer allowed to live with her, she's a sota, but even in that case, we don't apply the principle of staman lishma. In other words, in get, that's it. There's no staman lishma, without any exception.
There are more photocopies?
I gave out a whole bunch yesterday. I don't know if we have any extra copies.
I might have some extra ones.
You have some extra ones?
The top of the page is...
First of all, do you have any extra copies of Nefesh Tova? Because I wanted to start with the Nefesh Tova. After we see the Tosfos. The Tosfos now quotes a Gemara in Gittin, and the Gemara touches on the following issue. Can a guy write a get? In other words, let's say the guy announces that he's writing this get for the purpose of Reuven and Rachel. So it's a lecharetz lishma. So Gemara says, no, that get is possible. Why? Because we have a principle called adaite denafshe ka'ovit. Now, what does that mean, adaite denafshe ka'ovit? We'll just translate it literally, but we're going to have a lot to talk about in trying to really understand the depth of it. But on a superficial level, the guy does his own thing. And as we never know exactly what he has in mind, what motivates him. So even though he made an official statement that he has in mind this Reuven and this Rachel, but nevertheless, adaite denafshe kovit. That's just a very superficial understanding of the Gemara. We're going to get more heavy into it. Now Tosfos makes a certain change in his topic. He's still talking about the question of lishma, but not with regard to kodshim or get, but rather with regard to mila. When a moel implements a maisa mila, is he required to have a kavana l'shem mila? Or do we say staman lishma? That we assume, until we know otherwise, that he has in mind for mila. So here Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says that there's a difference here between a Kusi and other non-Jews, let's say an Arabi. Now, why is a Kusi singled out to be possible for Mila? So historically, the Kusim were the ones who worshipped mountains. That was their form of Avodah Zorah. Even though later, at some point, they joined Klal Yisrael, but their Gerus was not a serious Gerus. And therefore, we always assume that when they do certain actions that are part of a ritual, they have in mind their form of Avodah Zorah. In other words, they never really historically purified themselves from the temptation, so to speak, the minog that was part of their essential religion to worship mountains. So the Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zorah, Al Yamul Kusi, we're not allowed to allow the Kusi to implement the Mila. Why? The Miskaven, Kusi Miskaven L'shem Har. Okay, the different mountains, but one of them is called Har Grizim. You know, that's where Klal Yisrael entered at the end of the Torah into a special bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they picked up the sanctity, so to speak, of Har Grizim. They thought, and they attributed to Har Grizim certain powers of Avodah Zorah.
So,
excellent. So now Tosus wants to know what's going on over here. Is there a requirement of Lishma with regard to Mila? On the one hand, the Gemara says that the Arami is allowed to do Mila, so it seems like there's some sort of halacha of stamo Lishma. But on the other hand, we're saying that a Kusi is capable of having a Shalol Lishma, meaning a Machsheves Shalol Lishma, which will passel the Mila. So Tosa says the following, that Hasam Nami, with regard to Mila, Be'inon Lishma, we need Lishma in Mila, and that's derived from Lashem, Himol Yimol Kol Basar. The Torah added the word Lashem, meaning it has to be dedicated to Hashem. Now, if you're going to tell me now that in Mila we require Lishma, and that's why a Kusi is possible for Mila, because he has a negative Kamanish Alolishma, then how can we be Machshir and Arami? A guy, and even if you'll tell me that he declared that he's doing it L'shem Mila, L'shem the mitzvah of Mila, but nevertheless we already established that in Get, where we require Lishma, if the guy does the writing of the Get, there's no Lishma, because we have a principle of Daitei the Nafsheka of it. Almost as if to say we never could trust him, what he really has in his mind. We never know really, in truth, what genuinely motivates him. So therefore, in Get, it's not a real Lishma. So Tosa says that Afilu Hachi Makshirin Arami, an Arami is kosher for what? For Mila. The Yesh L'chalek Ben Get L'Mila. Because in Get there's a full-fledged requirement of Lishma, and therefore a guy doesn't have that 100% Lishma. He's always adaiti the nafshek of it. There's some admixture of other motivations. But when it comes to Mila, there the requirement of Lishma is a different kind of requirement of Lishma. And the nafkamin is going to be that an Arami is kosher for Mila, and we're going to assume that he had that level of Lishma that's necessary for Mila, even though in Get he's possible because Adaiti the Nafshe. But Adaiti the Nafshe somehow reduces or lowers the level of Lishma that is required in what? In Get. So you have Get as a high level of Lishma. Again, none of this makes any sense, but I'm just on a very, you know, technical level, so we get to where we want to get to today. So mechanically, we could say that there's 100% Lishma, and that's the requirement in Get. In the case of a guy, he's not able, even if he claims that he's writing the Get Lishma, to achieve that high level of Lishma, and therefore the Get that he writes is possible. That's called Adaiti the Nafshika of it. However, in contrast, in the case of Lishma and Mila, that's already a different kind of Lishma in Mila. And a guy is capable of reaching that lower level of Lishma in Mila. Why is Get different than, let's say, for example, Zvachim? In Zvachim, we're going to say Stama Lishma, whereas in Get, Stama is possible. And the answer is because Stam Isha Lav Ligerishin Kaima. Since there's a principle called Stam ish lav legerish no medes. Therefore, a guy is going to be possible for writing a get. But in the case of kachim, we have a principle called stamo lishma. Is then we don't require a positive machsheves lishma not to be machshir kachim. There's only a psul of machsheves shalol lishma. Avol b'mila. Where does mila fit into this? You know, this constellation. Is it like get that we would not apply the principle of stamo lishma? Because the child, kaviyachol, is not omed l'mila, and therefore we're going to require a positive lishma, similar to get. The answer is no. It can't be so, because then a guy would be possible for mila. And with the exception of a kusi, a guy is kosher for mila. Aval mila, stamo lishma kami. Mila has the same status as kudshim. And just like in kudshim, we say that there's no requirement of a positive kavana lishma, and therefore stamo lishma, so too, in the case of mila, there's no requirement of a positive lishma, and hilkach obi kochavim kosher. Even though we'll say that adaiti denafshi kovit makes it like stoma, and it's not a negative psul of dafke shalol lishma, and therefore the mila is kosher. When do we have a negative kavon of shalol lishma? That's in the case of kusi, because he's doing l'shem har gris.
If a non-Jew can do shechita,
and in the case of shechita, l'chora, we're going to say that in shechita, stama kilishma. That's Don's point. And if we're going to equate shechita in chulin with shechita in kashim, and in both cases we're going to apply the principle of what of stama lishma, then a guy should be kasher in shechita. We never found that a guy is kasher in shechita. So what I want to study with you is this presentation here of the Nefesh Tova. I'm going to need your help, and we'll try to work through it together. And we're going to take this principle of Goy Adaiti the Nafshi Kovit and try to dissect it. We're going to talk about Sefer Torah, we're going to talk about Tefillin, we're going to talk about Mila, we'll talk about Get, we'll talk about Kodshim. It's Levedik in Shtot, as we say. He says, Mavur Migdivrei Atosis, this is Simon Lamed Gimel, on page Lamed Gimel, which is on the bottom right. The mila stama lishma kizvachin. Then on the one hand, we see an equation between mila and kodshim. That just like in kodshim we say stama lishma, Tosa says that even in mila we can apply the principle of stama lishma. Again, Beli Neda, when we get to the Keren Orah, we're going to have to see how this principle of stama lishma and mila is going to pan out in all mitzvahs, because we have a man yomer who says mitzvah srichas kavana, and it's not enough to say stama, but you have to have a positive kavana. Mila should be in that sense paradigmic of any mitzvah, and if in any mitzvah we're going to apply the principle of stama lishma, that contradicts the principle of mitzvahs srichas kavana. Okay, so that's going to be a discussion that we'll leave for later. The afal pikein mevuar b'gemara b'mesecht avodah zara sheviu, that Tosis quote the kusi lo yomul mishum b'niskavim l'shem agriza harei chazinon. We see the afal gav de b'mila stoma lishma efshar lakar hastoma im ose shalol lishma. In other words, there are three levels. There's one level in the case of get where you need a positive lishma. Then there's a level called stama lishma, which applies to both kachim and to mila as well, and you don't have to have a positive lishma like you do in get isha. Then we have a principle of a machsheves shalol lishma, and even though stama's lishma, but if there's a shalol lishma, that's called an akira. An akira means that it undermines the lishma and passels the mila. So therefore a kusi whose mila is done for what purpose? L'shem ha-grizim. That's why he's doing the mila. You know, a guy, you might say, well, he's doing a mila for many different reasons, but he's not being oker the lishma. But in the case of a kusi, he's being oker the lishma. Even though stumble lishma, he had no thoughts whatsoever. If ha-grizim didn't cross his mind, it would be kosher. But nevertheless, a negative kavanah lishma passes. Oh, now let's talk about Kodshim. In Kodshim we have Stoma Lishma. What's the status of a negative kavana? So let's go back to the first Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah says that if he had a positive shalol lishma, meaning he shechted an ola l'shem chatos, what's the status of the karban? Well, I should say ola l'shem shlomim, because I don't want to get into chatos here, but ola l'shem shlomim is kosher. Again, whether it's ola l'bayim l'shem chov is a different discussion, but it's certainly kosher. So the question now arises, What is a machsheves shalol lishma and kodshim? Meaning, if we're equating mila with kodshim, both lend themselves to the principle of stoma lishma, and both lend themselves lechora to the principle of an akira. An akira means a machsheves shalol lishma. We had in the case of akusi a machsheves shalol lishma in mila that is oker the lishma completely, and the mila is psula. If that, and you'll need to replace it with that, what's called atavas dambris. So then, by accepting or applying this parallelism to its next stage, then we should therefore say that a negative kavana, a machsheves shalol lishma, in the case of kodshim, should also pasul the korban. And yet the Mishnah establishes that, with the exception of chatos and pesach, a shalol lishma doesn't pasul the korban. And why doesn't it pasul the korban? So he quotes the Brisker Rav, and again, I don't know who was here when, so I can't always tell you that we discussed this, but we did discuss this, at least here in the room, that the Brisker Rav holds that with regard to Kodshim, even a Machsheves Shalol Lishma is not Oker the Karvan. In other words, the Halach of Stoma Lishma and Zvachim has two applications. Number one, it applies in the case where the Kohen had no machshava whatsoever. So he just shechted a carbon ola, and that's it. He had no machshava neither here nor there. And then there's another halacha, which expands the halacha of kodshim. Even if he had a negative machshava, and he had in mind l'shem shlamim, not l'shem ola, the carbon is still kosher. And the Brisker Rav says the reason for that is because the principle of stoma lishma applies even when he has an explicit kavanah of shalol lishma. And the only time that you can generate a psul in the carbon is with what's called a machshava poselis, which applies, let's say, for example, in shalol lishma, in chatos, or in pesach. Maybe it applies in certain cases in Shini Bailim. We discussed that yesterday. So again, Rabosai, it comes out the following, that in the Brisker Rav's framework, and this he proves from our mission at the beginning of Zvachim, even a Machsheves Shalol Lishma is not Oker the Karban, but rather it still retains the status of Staman, which is Lishma, and the Karban is Kasher. Now we have a problem, because we established, according to Tosis, an analogy between what? Mila and Kodshim. That just like in Kodshim there's Halach of Stoma Lishma, so too in Mila there's Halach of Stoma Lishma. And yet Tosis says in Mila, a negative Kavana undermines the Mila. In the case of a Kusi, who has a Machshava of L'shem Argrizim, and yet in the case of Kodshim, even though he has a machshava on an ola l'shem shlamim, which is a negative kavana, nevertheless, the Mishnah says the carbon is kosher. What happens to the stoma lishma in the case, in other words, if the stoma lishma in the case of Kodshim includes even a machshava shalol lishma, it still retains the status of a stoma lishma, why not apply the same principle to what? To Mila. And Mila also, since it has a principle of stoma lishma, even a shalol lishma should be considered stoma lishma. That's his question on Tosfos. In other words, basically, Tosfos seems to be equating the din of lishma with regard to mila to the din of lishma with regard to kodshim, and yet that equation doesn't really follow through. It goes up to a certain point if he has no machshava whatsoever, and that's the case of a guy, but it doesn't go as far as to say that there's a negative machshava, because in kodshim a negative machshava doesn't pass the karbon; it still retains its status as a karbon kosher.
an amoeba, it's either amoeba or it's not amoeba. With a corvid, okay, it's not an ola, it's a shoni, but it's still a corvid.
So you want to say that perhaps in the case of Mila, it's not like having in mind a Korban Shlamim, it's worse than that.
Much worse. It's nothing.
Interesting. That's an interesting answer.
A Korban L'Shem Har Grisim would definitely be puzzled.
So in other words, you say like this, as long as he has a machshava within the framework of Kodshim, he's going from one Kodesh to the other, that's Shini Kodesh, meaning instead of an Ola he has in mind, Shlomim, okay, but it's still a Karvan Lashem. He has the basic Kavanah Lashem. It's within the category.
He's on the right volume, not the right page.
But in the case of Hagrizim, in the case of Akusi, now we're talking about a Mila that's not Lashem at all. So let me see if we can. I don't think we can fit this into what he's about to say, but it might be valid on its own. He's trying to set the groundwork here to understand how Lishma would work in the case of a Sefer Torah. He says, Abiruhu, the shiny Zvachim, why is Kachim different? Deha Stama Lishma Hu Din Bekarban Sha Omeid Bestama Lishma. The ilu b'mila lo shayach lomar de munach bo sheyase lishma elahudin b'maisa hamoel de stam mila v'maisa mitzvah v'lachem kishachoshiv lehedu l'shem agrizim havi shalo lishma. He's focusing on the Gemara that we saw on Daf Beis Amid Beis that differentiates between Get and Zvachim. In the case of Get, we say that Stam Isha Lav Legerishin Omedis. What generates the din of Stam Lishma in Karban? It's the fact that Karban is Omed Lishma. It's Omed to be brought on the Mizbeach. In Vila, he says, we don't have a parallel case of the carbon is omeid. There's nothing parallel to the carbon being omeid. What you could say in Mila, and that's Stomel Ishma in Mila, is that the Maisa of Mila is being done as a Maisa mitzvah. That much I could grant you. But I can't go that extra mile and say that there's a din in the Mila that just like in carbon, we say that the carbon is omeid lishma, meaning the carbon is omeid as a carbon ola, let's say, for example, that there's a parallel in mila. So he's saying that there are two dinim over here. In other words, the analogy and the equation between mila and carbon goes only so far as one particular din, but it doesn't go beyond that as far as another din. Meaning, if we're analyzing the Maisa, then we can assume that in both the cases of Karban and in the case of Mila, the Maisa is for the sake of the mitzvah. But if you're talking about the object itself, meaning if we're comparing the Behemoth Kodesh to the baby that needs Mila, here, there's a difference between carbon and mila. In carbon, the carbon is omeid to lishma, meaning to go beyond the maisa mitzvah and add the element of lishma that we have in the case of carbon, because the carbon, since it has a definite chaloshem, in other words, it has a certain parallel, a certain personality, if you will, an identity. That, what do you say?
A label.
It has a certain personality. It has an ambiance, right? It's got a status as a carbon. That gives me another din of stama lishman that goes as far as to say that there's no akira. In other words, when he thinks in terms of this ola for the sake of shlamim, he's not capable of changing the carbon and making it into a carbon shlomit, because the carbon refuses to be changed into a carbon a carbon shlamim. It's a carbon ola. So it stands up and says, well, I am a carbon ola that has certain dinim in the gufa carbon, the way it's being brought, and so forth.
Is that only because the ola is a higher madriga than a shlamim?
No, shlamim also is a higher madriga than ola. For example, shlamim has chaz v'shok, and shlamim has nesachim, and so forth and so on, which an ola doesn't have. Or, for example, shlamim has a kiyum v'achila, which shlamim. Every carbon has its own personality. Now, it's true that an ola is kachim kachim, and shlamim is kachim kalim. So that's true, and that might be the reason why, if he has in mind, in a case of a chatos l'shem shlomim, maybe that's a more drastic change in terms of the status, and that's the shita Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah.
Why,
but
why in the case of Mila, so the moil has three Mila that day, right? And he's now
three babies three in babies. Front of him.
Yeah, no, not in front of him. He's got three scheduled for that day.
Oh, okay.
Right, and he goes to the first one, and he has the third baby in mind because there's no names mentioned. And he's supposed to go to Schwartz, and he went to Katz, or he's thinking of Katz instead of Schwartz.
So that's not relevant to Mila. No, it's what we need in Mila.
So where's the Lishma or Mila?
Oh, so where's the Stam Lishma and Mila? Stam Lishma and Mila is that since the child has a mitzvah, there's a, with regard to the child, let's say, because the child's not obligated to mitzvahs, maybe the father's obligated to Mila, but who's ever obligated to the mitzvah of Mila, the child generates that mitzvah. Now we could say that in the context of mitzvahs, again, we have to square this with the din of mitzvah srichas kavana, but there's a certain kavana that's inherent in the ma'isa, that this ma'isa is a ma'isa mitzvah. Let's take the Mandiyor who says mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, just to make life a little bit easier for ourselves. So if mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, what happens is that the ma'isa is set up as a ma'isa mitzvah. Why? Because the ma'isa that's being done is identical in its mechanical external trappings as if it were a ma'isa mitzvah. That gives me the ability to say stamo lishma. But that's only as long as he doesn't have a negative kavana. But if he has a negative kavana, for example, he has in mind l'shem argrizim, then this mila takes on a whole different personality, a whole different status. It's no longer a maisa mila. It's now a maisa for the purpose of serving argrizim. In the case of kachim, even though the kohen has in mind l'shem shlamim, nevertheless, he doesn't have the kohen, the power to change the nature of the carbon. In the case of Mila, he's not changing the nature of the baby, he's changing the nature of the Maisa. So we might say Stamo Lishma and assume that until we know otherwise, that this Maisa, since it's a perfect implementation of the mitzvah of Mila, it serves as a mitzvah of Mila. If a person takes a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, then that taking of the lulav is upgraded to the status of a maisa mitzvah. But if on the other hand he has a negative kavan, he's saying, I'm taking the lulav because I want to scratch my ear, or I'm taking the lulav because I want to serve hargrizim, that already undermines the status of the netilas lulav as a maisa mitzvah. So we're only dealing in the case of mitzvahs with the nature of the maisa. Is it a maisa mitzvah, or is it not a maisa mitzvah? Normally, in the absence of any disruption, if all things are equal, we're going to grant the mila the status of a maisa mitzvah, and that's called staman lishma. But he can undermine that if he has a machshava that this mila is not a maisa mila at all, l'shem mitzvah. It's a maisa mila for the sake of the hard reason. What's the chiddush in kachim that stamo lishma makes it impossible for the kohen to have even a negative kavan, and therefore the kohen, even if he thinks about the ola l'shem shlamim, the carbon ola is still a carbon kosher, it's not possible. And the answer is because now we're dealing with something that goes beyond the realm of mitzvahs. We're no longer limited to the realm of mitzvahs, in which we ask, well, is it a ma'aseh mitzvah? Is it not a ma'aseh mitzvah? Now we're in the realm of hakravas karban. And since the karban is being brought as a karban, again, Michael says because even shlamim is a karban, but even without that, he's suggesting a different approach. And he's saying that in the case of a karban, it's the din of the karban that it's omed as a karban. So there's something about the karban that, in a sense, yells and screams out or demands its due as a karma. So karma as a karma. That's what he says. Shiny zvachim the mistamal ishma who din be karma. That the karbon is omed as a karbon. In other words, that's something about the nature of the karbon. In the case of milah, you can talk about the mice of milah, and the mice of milah should be recognized as a mice of mitzvah until we know otherwise. But when we know otherwise, you can be okay the nature of the mice and call it a mice of l'shem hargrizim. It's no longer a mice of l'shem mitzvah sashem, but rather l'shem hargrizim. But in the case of a karbon, all he's doing is he's trying to change the nature of the karma that he can't do. So that as opposed to the maisa, we're not focused on the maisa shchita and asking, is this a maisa mitzvah? I'll grant you it's a maisa mitzvah, but what about the shalol shema? He's changing it into a different karma. And the answer is that there's a din that's inherent in the karma that demands that it be brought as such, as a karma, in this case as a karma ola.
So he can't. So he does shechita say, and it's an ola, but he says it's a shlomim.
Right.
And when he comes to the next stage, you can say he can change it back. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not sure what you mean by the next stage. You mean like Zrika?
Exactly.
No, I don't know. I don't know that that's true because, again, you have another element. You have Shalol L'Shem Bailim, right? That it's not all L'Shem Bailim. So, he can't change it back because even if he does the Zrika for the sake of an Ola, nevertheless, it's not going to be all L'Shem Bailim. It'll be what's called an Olas Nedava.
Fine. So what you're saying is it has to stay as an Ola. It never changes to a Shlomo.
Correct. Correct. He can't change the karma because in this case the karma itself is a karma ola. That's inherent in the karma. That doesn't have its parallel in mila. In mila we're only discussing what the mice of the action itself is. In the case of the karma, we're trying to change the very essence of the chal shem or the din of the karma. That we can't do. That's called mistam lishma. So that's an extra piece in mistam lishma.
But in the case of the is it degreasing?
Yeah.
So he's doing the mila, but he's doing it b'shem shel hargreasing, but he's still doing the mila, right?
Correct.
So in the case of the shechita, right? So I'm still doing the shechita, whether I'm doing and I'm doing for lishmoa chodesh, right? So, but the comparison would be if I'm doing the shechita with chulin in mind instead of chodesh.
Oh, so if he does shechita with chulin in mind, that might be a whole different problem.
But that to me is the comparison because he's still doing the mila. He may be doing it with something in mind that I'm doing it for the honor of hargrazim, but I'm still doing the mila on the baby. So here I'm doing the shechita on the animal, right? The question is, if I'm doing it for kodesh, it's kodesh. Which is what Michael was saying, right? It's still in the same category, right? But if I'm now, but to make the comparison, in my mind, to make the comparison, is I'm doing shechita not for Kodesh, I'm doing shechita for Kulin.
Oh, so in that case, he would forfeit the mitzvah,
right?
Because now he's saying my shechita is not a shechita's mitzvah, but it's a shechita's reshus, so to speak, a shechita's Kulin. But as far as the carbon is concerned, the carbon demands its own identity. It has a definite identity that's in the guf habeim, and you can't change that identity. In the case of mila, I'm not changing his identity. I'm just changing the nature of the mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah of mila? Is it not a mitzvah of mila? So normally I assume that this mice is a mice of mitzvah. That's called stamol ishma. He can now change it and say, I forfeit the mitzvah. In shchitas kodshim, he can make it into a shchitas chulin and forfeit the mitzvah. That he can do. But he can't passel the karbon because the karbon itself is identified as a karbon, and that identity cannot be changed. That's what he's saying. Let's go on now to talk about writing a Sefer Torah, or what we call Ksiva Stam. The Rambam paskins in Perek Aleph, Milchus Tefillin, that if at the time of the writing of a Sefer Torah, lo haisa lo kavana, he had no kavan in mind for the sake of writing a Sefer Torah, the kasav haskara bin haskara shebehen shalol lishman psulin. Now this is very interesting. The Rambam, when he sets up a psul of shalol lishman sefer Torah, he only mentions the haskaros. So Reb Chaim in his sefer is medayik from the Rambam that only in haskaros is there a psul called shalol lishman. But as far as the balance of the Sefer Torah is concerned, the Sefer Torah is kosher, even if during the writing of the balance of the Sefer Torah, he did not have in mind Lishma, he had no Kavanah Lishma. So in other words, as far as the balance of the Sefer Torah, with the exception of the Azkaros, meaning the names of Hashem, we apply the principle of Mistama Lishma. And it means that there are two different dinim. There's one din with regard to the Azkaros, and there you need a Kavana Lishma. And there's another din that applies to the balance of the Sefer Torah, where we're going to say the principle is Stama Lishma. So now, the question is, what do we do with the Gemara in Gittin? The Gemara in Gittin tells us that a guy who writes a Sefer Torah is puzzle. Why? For the same reason that a guy who writes a get is puzzle, namely Adaite de Nafshe Ka'avit. And we just finished saying that a guy would be kosher for Mila, and we're not impressed by, or disturbed, shall I say, by the principle of Adaite de Nafshe Ka'avit if the guy does the Mila. Why? Because in the case of Mila, we apply the principle of Mistama Lishma. Now for the balance of the Sefer Torah, meaning other than the Yaskos, we're applying the principle of Mistama Lishma. And the Ram says explicitly, or implicitly at least, that if he doesn't have Kavana, the Sefer Torah is nevertheless kosher. Why then is a guy possible Ksiva Sefer Torah? We say that a guy is possible to get because there's a positive requirement of Kavana Lishma, and the guy is Adaiti Denafshikov. If in regard to Mila, we're going to say that the guy is kosher. Why? Because Stama Lishma, with the exception of a negative kavan in the case of a kusi. So now in Sefer Torah, if we're applying the principle of Stama Lishma in a Sefer Torah, then a guy should be kosher for writing a Sefer Torah.
I don't understand. How is that possible? Because it is not a sentence that if it has the Shem Hashem in it, that it is by itself without anything else. So the rest of the sentence would be possible. The Azkara would be possible, and the rest would
no,
be
so possible. let's say Yisrael writes the Azkara. So now a guy writes, yes. So can a guy fill in that those parts of the Sefer Torah that don't require positive Lishma, meaning they're not like get? A guy is possible to get. So certainly he's possible to Azkara, because the Azkara require Lishma, the Rambam says. But what about for the balance of the Sefer Torah? At least Chachi can write, and it comes out that if he writes one letter in the Sefer Torah is going to be possible in the case of a guy. Why? Because Adaiti the Nafshekov. Well, that would make sense wherever there's no din of Stama Lishma, for example, in the case of get. But in the case where there's a din of Stama Lishma, like the case of Mila that we saw before, there we said a guy is kosher. So Rav Chaim now generates a brand new din in Sefer Torah. What's this new din that passes, that excludes and disqualifies a guy? A din of Ibud. Ibud means that when they prepare the cloth on which the Sefer Torah is written, you need what's called Kedushas HaKlaf. And what action generates Kedushas HaKlaf? Ibud, which means tanning the hide of the animal to prepare it for Ksivas HaSefer. And with regard to Ibud, the Gemara derives from Psukim that there's a special separate requirement of Lishma for Ibud. And the Rambam codifies that in the first Perek of Hilchas Tefillin, Perek Aleph Halach Yud Aleph, that you need Ibud Lishma. And the Gemara says that whenever you need Ibud Lishma, you need B'kal V'chomer Ksiva Lishma. And this has nothing to do with the Azkaros. This applies even to the balance of the Sefer Torah. Any letter and any word in the Sefer Torah needs Lishma by virtue of an equation to Ibud Lishma. Since the Torah was Machadish and Din of Ibud Lishma, the Torah says that Ksiva is no worse than Ibud. Ksiva is even closer to creating, even further down the line, and more profound in creating the Sefer Torah than Ibud is. Ibud is only on a very basic elementary introductory level of creating a klaf. And if in that level of creating a Sefer Torah you need Lishma, that's called Ibud, how much more so in the case of writing the Sefer Torah that you need Lishma? The only problem is that when we go back to the Rambam that we started with here, Perek Aleph Milchasun Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam says that Be'esak Siva, that while he's writing the Sefer Torah, not the Azkaras, if he didn't have Kavana, the Sefer Torah is kosher. So the Rambam is explicitly committed to the position that there's no requirement of Kavana in writing a Sefer Torah. We just finished saying that since the Rambam requires, in the same chapter in Hilchos Tefillin, he requires Ibud Lishma, then how much more so the Ksiva has to be Lishma. And that's why the Gemara excludes the Ksiva of a guy with regard to the balance of the Sefer Torah. But the Rambam himself is committed to the position that Ksiva doesn't require Lishma. Because the Rambam says, in the Eis B'Shas Ksiva Lo Haisa Lo Kavana, says the Rambam, since he wrote the Azkara Shalom Lishma, therefore the Sefer Torah is possible. But the fact that he doesn't have a Lishma, a Kavana Lishma in the balance of the Sefer Torah, that doesn't bother the Rambam. He doesn't flinch. The Rambam says, Vishas Ksiva, he's talking about the balance of the Sefer Torah, Lo Haisa Lo Kavana. Yet the Rambam says it's only possible because the Azkaras were written Shalom Lishma. Obviously, the Rambam is telling us that the balance of the Sefer Torah has no requirement of Lishma, but now you're telling me no. A guy is possible in writing this, the balance of the Sefer Torah with a kolshke, because if there's a requirement of Ibud Lishma, how much more so there's a requirement of writing the Sefer Torah Lishma, which makes Sefer Torah upgraded to the level of a get, and it requires a Lishma. But the Rambam himself says that if he didn't have Kavanah Lishma, the Sefer is kosher. V'yiseid agrach dahadol apostel shalo lishma b'ksiva sefer Torah eino mishum delo b'inik ksiva lishma. There's a bunch of negatives here, right? He's saying that don't assume the following, that when the Rambam says there's no requirement of lishma, the Rambam should be taken literally, that there's no requirement of lishma. The Rambam says you don't require lishma in a sefer Torah. Don't think that the Rambam is saying that you don't require lishma in a sefer Torah. Ella, but rather, what does the Rambam mean when he says that Shalom Lishma is okay in the Sefer Torah? He means the following. Alright, this is the language of Reb Chaim. And I desperately need a little bit of water, so let me just take a break here.
There's water here.
You have something? Yeah? Oh, great. Thank you so much. You know, I'm going 3 hours without taking a break, so my mouth gets dry. I don't know if anyone suffers from that. I have it all the time, so we'll go to the physician and figure out why. I was going to make a Birchas HaTorah on that one, because it allows me to teach, you know. Okay, so now let's look at the very magical and very complex language of Reb Chaim. You know, sometimes I read a Reb Chaim, it's like reading a Rishon, it makes a Rishon seem easy. He says the following, Kevan de Maisa HaKsiva Hibiatz Musa Etzem Maisa HaStam, Stam meaning Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, and so forth, Al kein chayel ba kedusha sefer Torah memela ustaman lishman kai. Again, we still don't know why a guy is writing the sefer Torah is possible. That we'll get to in the next paragraph of Mitzvah Shev. But let's understand what the Rambam is saying when he says that even if it was written shalom lishma, the balance of the sefer, it's kosher, because the Reb Chaim says that the emphasis is here is on the Chalos Kedusha Sefer Torah. How is that Chalos Kedusha Sefer Torah Chal? So he says that in order to generate this Chalos, this entity called Kedusha Sefer Torah, what we need is a Maisa Ksiva. And a Maisa Ksiva, in its very nature, in its very essence, so to speak, when he writes the Sefer Torah, that is sufficient to generate the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. And that's what it means, Stama Lishma. Stama Lishma doesn't mean that we think that he has in mind Lishma. Right? That's not what it means. It means that there is a Lishma. What generates Lishma? Not the Machsheves HaKosev, HaSofer. It means that there's a din in the Sefer Torah itself of Lishma. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying that, you know, just like we said before in Kachim, you remember the paragraph that starts on the bottom right column, Ulam. You remember we said that it is a din in the karma, and the karma is Omeid Mistamal Lishma. And that's the nature of the karma. He's saying that because there's a concept in Sefer Torah of Kedusha Sefer Torah, which has no parallel in Get is just a piece of paper, then there's no need to have a lishma in the Maisik Siva. Why? Because the Maisik Siva is interwoven, it's verbundent, it's connected with what? With the Kedusha Sefer Torah. And that's what Stama Lishma means. That just like in Kachim, we have halacha of Mistama Lishma because of the nature of the karban as opposed to mitzvahs. So too, in the case of Sefer Torah, we're not going to define Sefer Torah under the categories, under the regulations that govern mitzvahs. That means that the mice has to be done lishma, which would mean that perhaps we need a definite kavanah of lishma. And for sure, if he has a negative kavanah of shalom lishma, that's going to undermine the status of the mice as a mice and mitzvah. But that's not what's going on in Sefer Torah. What's going on in Sefer Torah is something about the nature of the, if you pardon the expression, the cheftza of the Sefer Torah. Just like in the karban, we spoke about the cheftza of the karban, that it has its own dinim, its own personality in halacha, and that can't be changed. So too, in the case of a Sefer Torah, because of the Kedusha Sefer Torah, it has in it a din of Kedusha Sefer Torah that cannot be changed. And therefore, the mice of writing the Sefer Torah is just another way of saying that it's the creation of the Kedusha Sefer Torah. And that's going to generate the din of Stama Lishma. Now, let's just see the repercussions here. We said that in the case of mitzvahs, then we have to decide Stama Lishma. Maybe he had a negative kavanah. If he had a negative kavanah, he upset and undermined the status of the mice as a mice of mitzvah. In the case of Kodesh, we said he cannot undermine the status of the Kodesh because of the nature of the karma. Now that we've identified Sefer Torah as something that has its own personality, its own dinim as a Chefetz Shel Kedusha Sefer Torah, now Sefer Torah should come under the same laws that govern Kachim. And we say that Kachim as opposed to what? As opposed to mitzvahs, like Mila as an example, there is no way, no how, that you can upset and undermine the Lishma. The Stama Lishma goes one step further. It's not just Stama Lishma that we assume he has the right Lishma in mind. No, even if we know for sure that he explicitly has a negative Kavanah of Shalom Lishma, which is the first Mishnah in Zvachim, the Kodesh is still considered a Karban Kasher. And by parallel now, in the case of Sefer Torah, what the Rambam means is that even though lo haislo kavana, he means even if he had a negative kavana, it wouldn't make any difference because the Sefer Torah has Kedusha Sefer Torah. So let me just... I know what you're going to ask, and I'm waiting for your question, but just let me read the words. He says, look, v'gam... Do you have this? Again, it's important to see it inside, so... V'gam kishachoshev shelo lishma... In a case of a Sefer Torah, even if he would be motivated shelo lishma, let's say, for example, he wants to use this Sefer Torah for some other purpose in mind, eino oker, he doesn't have the ability to be oker. Remember, like we spoke about Kodeshim, that you can't be oker, the Shem Kodesh, right? It's an ola, you can't be oker the Shem ola because the animal demands its rights as an ola, so to speak. So too, in the case of Sefer Torah, he cannot undermine the Kedusha Sefer Torah by having a svara of a machshav of what? Of shelo lishma. Eino oker hastam of the Sefer Torah, because again, the stam of the Sefer Torah is inherent where? In the Sefer Torah itself, in the chalos Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Lachach, eino posel b'machshav shelo lishma. Alright, now I want to hear everybody's kasha. There's one kasha against Rav Chai that we should all be asking before we get to go.
He's misasek.
No. What should you be asking now against Reb Chaim?
It's not a Sefer Torah until you bring it.
Excellent. How can Reb Chaim say that this Sefer has the personality of Chalos Kedusha Sefer Torah and the Maisik Siva is essentially just the bringing out the Kedusha? He hasn't yet created the Kedusha Sefer Torah.
No, he actually says it. He says, okay, Chayoba, the Maisik Siva is creating a Kedusha, not the Kedusha.
So what is it, like Gita B'Yodabod Ka'achas? Like in all his Chal at the same second?
If I can demonstrate that the Maisik I'm doing has only one purpose. It's only, I would never do this maisa for any other thing other than tefillin sefer.
Well, maybe he's writing it for as an apprentice. Maybe he's writing it for a sota. I don't know why he's writing it. You know, it's hard for me to believe that by definition he's writing it for kedusha sefer Torah. I mean, there may be many different reasons why. And Haraya, in the case of Azkaras, for sure he could have a shalom lishma. So in other words, again, you know, it's Reb Chaim is playing like, you know, like cats and dogs over here. You know, we haven't yet established the Chalos Kedusha Sefer Torah, but the purpose and the direction is to end up with Kedusha Sefer Torah. So it's almost as if the end determines the beginning. You know, the fact that ultimately in the category of Sefer Torah, it's not just the mitzvah, but it's creating this new entity that has Chalos Kedusha, that already demands that the Lishma is inherent in the Maisik Siva. But that's a little bit odd, because why should the end result determine the beginning? You know,
is that why the whole discussion of Ibud in the previous paragraph? Because I'm doing it on a piece of cloth that had the Ibud and has the Kedusha from the Ibud, and that's why the Siva is there more.
But on the contrary, the Rambam quotes the halacha of Ibud to justify why the guy passes the Sefer Torah. So it's like paradoxical here. You're going to use the halacha of Ibud to explain why you don't need a Lishma, when the Rambam uses the halach of Ibud to demonstrate that you do need Lishma. I don't know. He says, let's just see one more paragraph. V'yisarech biur, me'achem in isbar b'divrei atosis gavi mila, di'af al gav d'mistamo Lishma, mikol makom, kisha osa le'edja shalo Lishma, oker es ha'mistamo, came into Einzek Kizvachim. Why? Because Vachim already, the Shem Kodesh is Chal in the Behema. Ubatz Muso Omeid L'Lishma. Now we turn to page 11. Dalet. He says, El Demaisa Mila Omeid Lasos Shem Mitzvah. That's all you can tell me about Stoma Lishma, but he could be Mafkia that Stoma and change and soil, so to speak, ruin the nature of that Maisa and establish that it's not a Maisa Mitzvah. Is Ma Bein Zeh L'Sefer Torah because of Hagrach? That should be a Ches at the end. Is am I right? Yeah. Hagrach. The Efshar Lakar Hastom L'Shma. Why? Why can't you be Oker the Stom L'Shma? The Pashas Kodem Aksiva, before he gets to the Ksiva, Akati Ein Kan Sefer Torah. The name of the Batzmuso Omid L'Shma. You want to say the Heft of Batzmuso and its personality and its din could be Kovea the Lishma, even if it has a Machshava Shaloshma. That's okay in Kodshim, where there was a Maisak Dosha. But in the case of Sefer Torah, Akati Ein Kan Sefer Torah. That if he's writing a Sefer Torah, Kedasu Kedin, everything he does is perfect, we assume, until we know otherwise, that he's writing it Lishma. And that makes it like Maisa Mila, and until we know otherwise, it's Maisa Mila. But why are you going to tell me here that in Sefer Torah, like in Kutch, and there's no Akira, even if he has a negative Kavana? So now he gives Yechiel's answer. He says, Veshema, maybe you'll say that there was an Ibud of Oros Lishma, and that already generates a mixah, somehow, some partial status of a Hefta of Kedusha Sefer Torah, even though we're only at the early stages. And that's enough to determine that there's a Lishma in the Sefer Torah itself. But again, it's very paradoxical, as we pointed out before, because the din of Ibud Lishma, on the contrary, is coming to generate a requirement of Lishma. Now he's using Ibud Lishma to undermine the requirement of Lishma.
Well, separating into two things. You need Ibud Lishma for Ibud. You don't need Lishma for Ksiba, because once I've done Lishma for Ibud, I've already set the stage.
No, but again, why is a guy puzzle Ksiba Sefer Torah? We're saying because you need Ibud Lishma.
Right.
So he already did the Ibud Lishma. Now the Sefer Torah is being written by a guy. So it's like a little bit paradoxical here, because you're telling me that the guy can't possibly be machshir in the Sefer Torah through his ksiva because of Ibud Lishma. Now you're telling me, but if the Yisrael has a negative kavana and he wants to write it for who knows what purpose under the sun, then we're going to say no, he can't be okay in the Sefer Torah because the Sefer Torah already had an Ibud Lishma. So let's just see the next paragraph. And now he addresses the main question of tonight, of today, I guess we'd say. And that is, why is a goy possible for writing a Sefer Torah? Again, in the case of the Askaris, I understand. There, it's like a get. You need a positive kavan. But in the case of the balance of the Sefer Torah, where the halacha is stomel lishma, and the Rambam holds that there's no psul of shalol lishma in the balance of the Sefer Torah, so what are you going to tell me? Goya daiti the nafshei ka'ovit. Yeah, but that's not true. Goya daiti the nafshei ka'ovit is only operative where in get. But in the case of Mila, we said that we don't apply the principle of goya daiti the nafshei ka'ovit. Why? Because in get, in Mila, there's halach of stumble lishma, and whenever the halach is stumble lishma, then a guy is kosher, and that's why a guy is kosher l'mila. If a guy is kosher l'mila, why shouldn't he be kosher for Sefer Torah, where there's halach of Sama L'shma? His own cost of Hagrachsham. And he thinks now we can understand why a guy is possible to see the Sefer Torah. The Afagav the Stoma Lishma in the case of Sefer Torah. The Yefshal Lakaras Astoma Lishma. So even if the Yisrael has a negative Kavanah for the sake of something else, it doesn't undermine and it doesn't in any way tilt, you know, the halacha of Lishma. He says, Ein Ze Mishum Chisar Machshava. We're not saying that the guy is lacking in machshava, because again, that you could say in the case of Mila, that he doesn't have the machshava for Mila, he has the machshava for Hagrizim, and that's going to passel. Ki'im, but rather, dinachri mufka mi'ikar din asiyah l'shma. What word would you add to Reb Chaim? For those of us who've been studying in Derech HaLimud, Gavra, right? Here's where you would add the word Gavra, meaning it's not a din in machshava. It's a din in the gavra. We have to understand why that doesn't apply in Mila.
Gavra who?
The guy is a gavra who's mufka from lishma. Meaning, there's no din of lishma in the balance of the Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's mistoma lishma kai. But you need at least a ksiva of a gavra who is capable of lishma. And in the case of a guy, mufka mi'ikar din asiyah lishma. The kahu dino. So again, he's reinterpreting this principle called a daitik nafshe kovid. It's not a daitik nafshe kovid the way we explained it superficially, that he has other ulterior motives in mind. No, that's not what it is. It's a din in the halachic status of the gavra. The aim b'maisav kol iker chalos shel lishma. He doesn't have the passibility. In other words, again, even though the machshava of the kosev is totally irrelevant in Sefer Torah, because as we discussed before, there's some sort of kedusha in the Sefer Torah, paradoxically, and that's going to be kovah, so even if it has negative kavanah, it's still lishma. But that's because the ksiva creates the lishma. Why does the ksiva create the lishma? That's through the principle of stoma lishma. But on the other hand, if the guy has a ksiva which doesn't have the potential, the power to create lishma, then it's possible. They're called the Elo Kedushas Yisrael, since he's Mufka from Kedushas Yisrael, he cannot create a Sefer Torah that's sanctified with Kedushas Sefer Torah. But so what does Gemara mean when it says Goya Daiti Denafshikov, which seems to assume that we're going into his brain, and in the case of Yisrael, we go into his brain and we find out that he has a Machshava Shalolishma and the Sefer is Kosher. He says, Mashma de Imhaya Osa Aldas Yisrael. By a kosher, the simple pshat in the Gemara superficially would be that if he would be mavatel daito b'fnei Yisrael, so the, let's say Yisrael omen al gav, and he keeps yelling and yelling that the guy is writing it l'shem sefer Torah, it would sound like that should be kosher because he's not a daito the nafsheka of it, unless you don't trust him. Afal gav di eno b'toras asiyah l'shma. Nevertheless, the chisaron is only in the machshava. What the Gemara wants to say is that since we have a principle of adaita nafshes is therefore it's a reflection on the gavra that no matter what, it's always going to be Adaita the nafshi, which means he's not capable of creating a lishma.
What about a Jew, a wonderful graphic designer who knows exactly, Jewish one, who knows exactly how to wear all the letters perfectly bright, and he's Machal of Shabbos.
So the same thing would apply.
As what?
As a good.
Why?
Because it's again adaiti the nafshi coming. Once he's a mumar, he has the status of a guy. And it means he's mufka from lishma. He says, "V'af ma de amrina delava adaiti nafshi coming eino umdana sha'osoladas atzmo." It's not just an umdana to try a shots up to evaluate what's in his mind. Ella, since he's a guy, he's not the Torah's lishma, and he's mufka from Torah's asir lishma, even if it's aldas Yisrael. So now I want to put this on the side for a moment. If you have the photocopy of the Keren Ora, and to discuss, you know, this concept of mistamel lishma as it relates to mitzvahs. Again, what we're saying is, according to everything we've seen here, based on the Tosafot Daf Beis Amud Beis with regard to mitzvahs, the din of stamel lishma is a different kind of a din. It's really an analysis of his machshava. In other words, we assume, until we know otherwise, that his mice is being done for the purpose of a mitzvah. If he comes along and he indicates that his mice is being done l'shem agrizim, then erochinami, that's mafkir, the shem Torah's mitzvah, and it's possible. Now, if you take a look on page Hey, you see a paragraph that starts with Matsinu?
Yeah, right side.
Right side? I mentioned in the past that do we require a machshavas lishma to create a maisa mitzvah? In other words, a person, let's say, eats matzah on Leil Pesach. Does he have to have kavana that this matzah is being eaten for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah? Or, alternatively, he blows a shofar. Does he have to have in mind that he wants to fulfill his mitzvah of blowing a shofar? So in the Rambam's frame of reference, it's a big mess. It's clear as mud. Because the Rambam in Matzah says that eino tzricha kavon. That even though he was only eating the matzah for the purpose of enjoying the matzah, if somebody would do such a thing, he would still have fulfilled his mitzvah of matzah. That's called mitzvah's einam tzrichas kavana. In Hilchas Shofar, the Rambam says he's not yotzi until he has kavana lotzis. And he needs kavana. So the one who tackles this problem is the Ran. He was the first one to break new ground. And as we've mentioned in the past, the Ran is of the opinion that matzah is the exception to the rule, meaning the Rambam requires kavana, but in the case of achilas matzah, the Rambam waives the requirement of kavana. And why? Because shekein nena, because he enjoys the eating of the matzah. In other words, he doesn't have to be koveah, he doesn't have to establish the mice of achilas matzah as a mice of mitzvah, to create a kiyuma mitzvah, but rather the maisa's koveas atzmo. It's kind of like the case of tefillah, where he davens and he has in mind that he's standing in front of Hashem. He doesn't have to have in mind that he's being yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah, v'avadetem es Hashem elokeichem, or the mitzvah of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. Here too, the matzah is koveah itself. Why, we don't know. Just be, the Ran says, because she came men. Okay. And in order to demonstrate this, the Ran quotes the flip side. What happens in an Avera? In an Avera, he has to be aware of the fact that... let me start again. In order to be chayav a carbon chatos, when he violates an Avera b'shogeg, he has to have a basic awareness of the Avera. Again, he might be shogeg. He doesn't think it's... he thinks for whatever reason that... you know, he's not violating an avera, correct? But he has to have a basic awareness. The exception to this rule is chalovim varayos, because the Gemara establishes in chalovim varayos that mesasik is chayav. So any other avera he does, let's say for example, he's not aware of the fact that this growth from the ground is attached to the ground. He thinks it's been cut from the ground. It's been harvested, and he picked it up from the ground. He's not chayav a korban chatos, even though he violated the Shabbos Melechus Ketzira. But in the case of chalev, even though he has no awareness of the fact that he's eating chalev, he has to bring a korban chatos b'shogeg. And why? The Gemara says shekein men, because he has hana. Therefore, the achilas chelev is a maisa that. In other words, let's say it this way: normally, if an avera is done b'shogeg, although he wasn't aware of the violation, he was aware of his action. And if he's aware of his action, the maisa is his, and he did it, and he violated an isakaris. So because he's a shogeg, he's only chayav a korban chatos. But what happens if he's not aware of his maisa at all? So then the maisa is not connected to him. But if he's nene from that maisa, then the maisa is connected to him, even though he was not aware at all. He didn't know that this was chelif. And in his mind, you ask him what he's eating, he thinks he's eating shuman, but he was really eating chelif.
It's not just chelif; it's anything that you eat that could be trefa.
Correct. Trefa. Well, trefa is not machayev achatis. Why are we using chelif? Because the chiyuv karis. Right. So that arayis is also chiyuv karis. So we're only focusing now, but enochinami, I mean, the abstract principle should apply to any time that he has hanah. So any aver that he has hanah, the maisa relates to him, and therefore if he did it b'shogeg, he's going to be chayav a karbon, even though he's misasek, even though he's not aware at all of what he's doing. You ask him what he's doing, he'll give you the wrong answer, because he doesn't know the right answer. And that would classically disconnect him from the maisa. Ask the guy why he's eating matzah. He's going to tell you he enjoys the taste of matzah. It's like a wafer, a cracker for him. I don't know if there's anyone here in this room who's willing to admit that they eat matzah the whole year round.
I love matzah.
To me, now if I'm a Sephardi, what broch do I make on matzah? Mezoinus, right? For Rebbe name is enough. But that doesn't stare me. Even if I was a Sephardi, I'd still love matzah. You know, I wouldn't make avotzi, I wouldn't be kovei suda. Maybe I could be kovei suda in certain situations. But I love matzah. So I love matzah. That's my sign. You know, I love matzah. So I eat matzah. But I'm not at all clued into the mitzvah of matzah. But you know what? You love matzah, you enjoyed matzah, you got some calories from the matzah, it added to your bloodstream, I don't know what it did, so you are a happy camper, that maisa relates to you, and you're yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So any mitzvah which has another element to it, is we apply the principle of einam tzrichas kavanah. He doesn't, normally he needs kavanah, so the maisa becomes a maisa mitzvah, and it's his mitzvah. I'm doing this for the sake of Hashem. But in the case of Hanah, when I get benefit, it's my Maisa. Where does the Ran see such a thing in the flip side in Averis? And the Karen Ora is very upset with that. But let's just understand the analogy of the Ran. The Ran is saying that just like in Averis, it's my Avera, even if I'm not aware of the fact that it's Chelim, because I'm Nene, therefore I'm Chai Machatas. So too in Mitzvahs, the flip side, even if I'm not aware of the fact that I'm being Yotzi in the Mitzvah of Matzah, but I'm enjoying the Matzah. And if I'm enjoying the Matzah, it's my Maisa. Again, is it a Maisa Mitzvah? That's the question that Alan asked me yesterday. That's where the Karen Ora comes up.
But before you come to that,
yeah.
Just to clarify, when the Ran is saying Shekei Nana, he's referring only to Maisa Akila when he's talking about matzah. In other words, if he sells the matzah, makes a profit on it, and he's Shekei Nana, that has nothing to do
if
with
it. If Luyatun, there would be an Issa Kares of selling matzah, he would not bring a karma for that.
Right.
Why? Because that's not called Sheikh Nene. Nene means physical pleasure.
Right. So
that's why it applies to Arayas. So let's say he was doing a mitzvah by having beer with an erva, and he didn't have in mind the same mitzvah. So the Gemara has a case where a man falls off a thing and he's boiled his yivama. And the Gemara says that he was Makayim the mitzvah yivama. Well, what about Mrs. Strickler's Kavana? He didn't even know she was at the bottom of the thing. Right? He fell on top of her. But the answer is, he came in. The Ran says, so again, to reconcile the Ram, on the one hand, in the case of Shofar, that's not called Shekei Nene. Hanoah means Hanoah Saguf in this context. And therefore, he's not Yotz in the Mitzvah of Shofar unless he had Kavana. That makes the Shofar into his Mitzvah. He had Kavana. But in the case of Matzah, he can be Yotz in the Mitzvah of Matzah even without Kavana. Says the Karen Ora, Ayin Ran, Dibra Maschil, Garcinin, Begmar Shekosav, Dehua Din, Im Nishkach Mimenu Yontif. The man doesn't even know that it's Pesach. And he went ahead and he ate Matzah. He thinks Domer Lo Shehu Chol. He thinks a weekday. Oh, one second. Because of what's this Hu Adin? I'm sorry, one second. Something. I'm sorry. You know what? I apologize. I skipped a few lines here. That's why I got. The Alzeyesh Ledagdeh. We're going back three lines up. Sorry. The Misase Gomor Nire. I'm going to add a word here. Afil B'matzah Nami Lo Yotza. even though he was nena from the matzah, but what if it was misase gomer? In other words, the hanah element in matzah can bridge a certain gap, as long as that gap is somewhat limited. He is aware of the fact that he's eating matzah, and he doesn't have in mind the mitzvah of matzah, but he knows he's eating matzah. What happens if he doesn't even know he's eating matzah? Again, how could that be that he thinks this matzah is a piece of meat? I don't know. But he says, kigon in this kavi lebasar. Maybe on the table there was a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of matzah, and his hand accidentally picked up the meat. I'm sorry, picked up the matzah. He had in mind to pick up the meat. Yeah, it's a little bit strange of a scenario. But in any event, that's called misaseg, which means the maisa of eating matzah is not related to him at all. And therefore, he says that in this case, lo yatza, even though he enjoyed the benefit of the matzah. And he equates this with the case of misasik, according to the Man Yomar, who says, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah, and nevertheless, in the case of misasik, lo yatza. Now, on this line, there's a gigantic footnote, number chav dalet. All right, I was hoping to get to it today, but we'll leave that for the next time. But be that as it may, follow the equation of the Karen Ora. And he says that the Ran is on board with this equation. He's equating misasek b'matzah, according to the Man Yomar, holds mitzvah shrichas kavona, with misasek in other mitzvahs, according to the Man Yomar, who says mitzvahs ein shrichas kavona. In both of these scenarios, lo yatzi yidei chovaso. Even if I hold that mitzvah shrichas kavona, but in the case of matzah shkein nene, he's yotze the mitzvah of matzah because tanah. But if he was misasek, he would not be yotze in matzah. In other mitzvahs, where there's no element of shkein nene, and let's say we go according to Man Yomar, who maintains a mitzvah ein shrichas kavona, nevertheless, if he would be misasek, lo yotze. And therefore, if a person is not aware of the fact that today is yontiv, he thinks it's chol, and he ate matzah, even the Rama would agree, in this case, the lo yotza. That's already considered misasa. Now, Rabosai, that's a little bit of a stretch. I understand in the case where he thinks it's basar, and it turns out to be matzah, that's misasa. He's not aware of the fact that he's eating matzah. But here he's very well aware of the fact that he's eating matzah. Just he thinks it's a weekday. He doesn't know it's yontiv. Is that also called misasa?
Sure.
He says, l'dayti tzarech iyud. I don't really understand this. The Avi Kabbal Hashem Chulin Bekodshim. The Chashvina Lei Stama Lishma. The Gemara Daf Gimel, in the beginning of Masech Tzvachim, says that if the Kohen has in mind Lishem Chulin, then the carbon is kosher. Even though Misasek Bekodshim, the Gemara says on Daf Mem Zayin, is possible. The whole carbon is down the drain. Why not apply the principle of misasik to someone who thinks it's chulin? Just like you're telling me if I ate the matzah thinking that it was a weekday, you're telling me that what? That even according to the Sfar of Shkein Nene, he's not yotze. Because of misasik, then if he's not l'shem kodshim, but l'shem chulin, that's like a person who eats matzah on a weekday, and in his mind he thinks it's a weekday, and he's not yotze the mitzvah.
You need.
That's the cash of the character.
Do you need?
What time is it? Time for mincha?
Yeah. 2 minutes.
All right, we have 1 minute.
Yeah. Do you need the shema at the time of shita's kachin?
No, we're saying that kachin doesn't require the shema.
That's why, because all you need is a behemoth.
But we're saying that even when you don't need l'shma, you still have to be together l'shem the maisa. You don't need l'shem the mitzvah, l'shem the karma, but you have to know that you're doing a maisa. So now you're saying, Alan, what the Gemara says on Daf Gimel is correct, that if he has in mind for shchita, but he thinks it's but he has in mind l'shem shchita schulin, then, alright, it's not a misasik. But now that the Ran has established that even though he's aware of the fact that he's eating matzah, but he thinks it's chol, that's called misasik, why not say that it's not enough to have in mind that it's shchita, you have to have in mind that shchita is kachim, and if you have in mind the shem chulin, That's like a person who eats matzah when he thinks it's a weekday. What's the difference between the two cases? And yet, paradoxically, in the case of matzah, even though he thinks it's chul, because he thinks it's chol, he's not yotze. In the case of kachin, despite the fact that he's l'shem chulim, nevertheless, he was yotze and the korban is kosher. What's the difference between the two? That's where we want to let the ball fall today. And the Mitzvah Shem picked this up another day. Okay then? So...